Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our body, mind, and soul. And tonight's guest is very much in tune with this evolutionary impulse. She's one of the true mystics of our world. That's how I feel about her. Her name is Lorna Byrne, and she has a new book out called The Message of Hope, and she'll be coming to New York City on March 14th. At St. John the Divine Cathedral, which is a beautiful place to see anybody. But Lorna, thank you for being on the show.
It's my pleasure to be with you now and chatting.
Thank you. It's always good to connect with you because, you know, this new book, Message of Hope, it differs from your first book a little bit, doesn't it, called Angels in My Hair? That was more your story. Now this seems like it's more what the angels want to say to us. How would you talk about this new book?
Yes, it's full of messages, full of for everyone that would read it personally. That's the feedback I get from it. And you know, I wasn't even thinking of writing it, and it was the angel Michael who just said to me one day, you know, you have to start to think about writing another book, and it's got to be about hope, and that's what God wants you to do, because the world needs hope at the moment in abundance, every country. And, you know, I kind of still kept it off. I'm always very slow. But when the time did come to write it, the angels were there to help. And it is full of hope, and it's about, as well, you know, the angel of hope that I actually see now every single day, no matter where I am in the world. So I know God wants to keep, you know, that light of hope burning.
Why do you think hope? I mean, hope always seems to be what people need. Why more now than ever do you feel that's important?
What way would I put it? It is because of all of the changes. There is huge changes happening at the moment, you know, within people personally themselves, but as well within the world. And I believe that's why, you know, God has the angel of hope out there in the world so much. And even here in Ireland, you know, people became, you know, so materialistic, you know, because there seemed to be abundance of money and all of that kind of thing. And people kind of, you know, became greedy and selfish and only thinking of themselves. And I know that, again, is why the angel of hope is in the world, why God wants us to see hope so that we change.
Yeah,
and
I suppose. Yeah, yes. What were you saying?
I suppose with all the, you know, economy and all of that collapsing in different parts of the world, it has been what I would call a miracle in disguise, because it has been a wake-up call to us all to realize that there is more to life than just material things.
Yes. Well, absolutely. And I should tell people a little bit about what I know is that you actually see these angelic beings around people. They appear as real as the person, and it's not like you're imagining it. You're actually physically seeing it, and you're saying everybody has their own particular guardian angels, as well as there are lots of other types of angels, like this angel of hope. And we'll get into the particular angels that America, you feel, has. But let me just ask you about guardian angels in general. You say they're with someone their whole life.
Yes, I always smile when I'm asked that question. I see angels as physically as I would see you. If you and I were in the same room together, you would see me physically and I would see you, but as well I would see your guardian angel as physically as I would be seeing yourself or any other angel that may be there as well.
Right. And but
what was the question?
No, I like that. But no, but they appear differently. I'll ask you that. But I also want to have you say how they are different for everybody. Not everybody's angel looks the same. Guardian angel looks the same, right?
No. And yeah, they all look like guardian angels. It's like if you had a line of generals, you'd know they were all generals separate from the soldiers. But they do look different. Sometimes a guardian angel will give a male appearance or a female appearance, and sometimes neither. Guardian angels are very powerful. They're there to guide you through life. But most importantly, I suppose they are the gatekeeper of your soul. And what's the most amazing thing to me is that, you know, everybody has a guardian angel. You know, God has given every single human being a guardian angel as a gift. And it doesn't matter, you know, what religion you are, or even if you're a complete skeptic and you say you don't believe in angels or you don't believe in God or you don't believe in anything. And because I would often meet people who would say that, and I would just have to smile at them because they would have a guardian angel.
But you say the guardian angels with people from the birth to when they die, and then are you saying that the guardian angel is no longer with that soul after they passes over? After they pass over?
Your guardian angel comes with you from heaven. You know, at the time of conception, at that time, and, you know, is your guardian angel right through your life. And when you die, your guardian angel goes back with you to heaven, because that's the most important job for your guardian angel, is to bring your soul home safely. And your guardian angel stays with you then as well, but not all the time. But you must remember, your guardian angel is your guardian angel. It can never be anyone else's. Your guardian angel won't be sent back as a guardian angel for someone else. I think that is lovely.
So the guardian angel is always with you, whether you're in your body or just a pure soul essence, is what you're saying.
That is right, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was after people die, it just kind of goes on and becomes somebody else's. It's recycled into the guardian angel.
No.
Oh.
I think that is lovely, that, you know, your guardian angel can never be anyone else's. Your guardian angel is your best friend and your companion. You know, so you are never alone, or even when you're feeling sad or you think everybody hates you or anything like that, just remember that your guardian angel loves you unconditionally, and, you know, is there for you. And to your guardian angel, you are their number one.
But would you say the guardian angel, or could be seen as an aspect of somebody's soul, or is it separate from the soul?
A guardian angel is, I used to feel, you know, real embarrassed and having to say this, but the angels have given me great courage and telling me you must say it all of the time to remind people. Angels are creatures created by God. And your guardian angel cannot be your granny or somebody else, because they are a creature. That's, in that sense, that's the way I've been told to explain it. And you yourself, you have a soul. You are a soul with the human body. And you are more than any angel. I know the angels love when someone says, you know, my granny is, you know, my guardian angel, because you feel the presence of your granny at different times. But your granny can't be your guardian angel, but yet it is your guardian angel that allows the soul of your grandmother in and around you when you need her. But she comes and goes. The only angel that stays with you constantly, every single second of your life, is your guardian angel. Other angels, or even a soul of someone you loved, comes and goes.
Right. But I've been with you, and we've had some great dialogues in public where you've read people, and it seems like some people's guardian angels are more open or more evolved. How do you see the difference, depending on person's spiritual development, their ability to maybe love more, or how do you see that difference in some people?
Well, that difference isn't that the guardian angel is more evolved. It is the person themselves. It is the person that has accepted that they have a guardian angel. So they're allowing themselves to grow spiritually and to hear their guardian angel, because your guardian angel is always talking to you, is always, you know, guiding you, is always teaching you. And that's what I would say to people, you know, try and respond to your guardian angel, and remember, it'll never say to you, you know, to be mean or selfish or to do something wrong. But sometimes your guardian angel might just say to you, just say you had a pencil there in front of you or a pen, you know, might say, just go and drop it to the floor. And you look at your pencil and you wonder why that silly thought came into your mind and you ignore it. But that is actually your guardian angel teaching you to respond to your guardian angel so that you grow spiritually more and more, so that you hear your guardian angel. Sometimes it might be intuition within yourself, or it might be, you know, a feeling you get in your stomach, or you might even have a dream. And it is to allow yourself to connect more spiritually, to become more aware, and aware that you have a soul as well, because that is, you know, that is the important part. It is, you know, the soul come forward, and the human part of us growing spiritually and intertwining with the soul.
Right. You know, I followed that advice, that I remember you said that last time, and I would maybe just have a feeling to walk down one street instead of another street because I felt the guidance. And then there were maybe more significant meetings that happened because I did listen to that guidance. And you're right, that voice is always talking to us if we listen. And so I have to say thank you for that little piece, because I've listened to it, and
well,
it's helped.
I'm glad you did. I suppose a lot of us at times, you know, don't listen, because in a sense it's easier to ignore, you know. And I would say, you know, when you do listen and you do something, say go down the street as you said, and nothing happened. Sometimes that can be the case, because they're actually only teaching you. And one other important thing is, you know, never say to yourself, well, what's in it for me? Because that is one thing that stops us spiritually, and especially adults, because we don't want to do something unless there's something in it for me. So don't use those words. You just do it.
Right, I get that. And I think things are changing anyway. I think people are now aware that we're all connected, and it's never just for us, what's in it for me. We're always connected to other people, and whatever we do affects other people. So I think that's true, what you're saying. The other thing I wanted to just talk about is what you mentioned before, is that the idea that these angels don't have souls, the guardian angels don't have souls, because they're creatures in the sense, and how I understand that, and I know it's difficult to explain because there's not really the words or the concepts behind this, but I get the sense they're sort of like GPS correctors, or they're always keeping us on track as a kind of essence of the God force that is guiding us to right action. Does that make sense?
It does in one sense, and you know, God created these beautiful creatures, you know, and not just for himself, because he didn't actually need them. But yet he created them before he created us, you know. And he is, you know, decided then at whatever stage it was, you know, to create the universe, the world. And I know we'll be searching for answers for eternity, but we will find the answers as we grow spiritually ourselves. And you know, he just gave what I call, you know, that speck of light, which is everybody's soul, is that tiniest little piece of God. And again, that is why, angels want to do as much as possible for us, you know, to help us to grow spiritually, because God put the little piece, that little speck of light, into his creation of human beings. And I think that is wonderful. It is great love. So the angels want to help and guide us in, you know, and grow spiritually as fast as possible. And I suppose it is something very important for us to remember, because this is part of the change. It is part of growing spiritual. It's part of evolution, you know, in that way. And it is about time that we decided to move on and not to be, you know, fighting amongst each other, you know, in that way. I have been shown many wonderful futures, and I know all those futures are there for mankind. It's just you would love to, what would you say, give it a kick start.
Right.
But that depends on everyone, and we do have free will, and no angel will overstep our free will, because that, again, is one gift that God has given us spiritually, is free will.
Huh. Have you heard the term about emptying the guff? That's a Kabbalistic term. Have you heard about that? When the souls in
the
guff, G-U-F. It's when the souls in creation all incarnate. It's like there's a new time occurs when the souls that have been formed all come into embodiment. And it's supposed to be a time of
awakening. Yes, that is what I call evolution in, uh-huh. You know, the soul and the body intertwining.
Right.
You know, intertwining within each other. And I do believe that is happening. But yet we are so afraid of it.
We're afraid of that, but it's our future, it's our destiny. Why do you think people are so afraid to realize that they are a soul and not just a body?
I don't,
maybe there's no answer.
Question.
Okay, maybe there's no right answer why people are afraid. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it is the human part of us. You know, when we can't be something, we can't see our soul. And yet on occasions, you know, God has allowed me to see someone's soul, and your soul is more beautiful than any angel. You know, it is incredible. And yet at times I find it hard to describe angels, because they are so beautiful and so perfect, you know, but only for they give that human appearance within themselves. I don't think I could describe them either.
Do you see people's souls too? Can you see that?
On occasions, I always feel privileged when God allows that.
Uh-huh. But tell me, why do you think if we're returning to where we came, why do you think the reason for incarnating, coming into body, is in the first place, happens?
Why did God create us in the first place?
Yes, what do we,
you know,
what's the purpose?
We all ask what is that purpose, and the main purpose is, you know, he created human beings, he created this planet, you know, all what's out there in the universe and beyond, and the thing for us to do is he gave us a soul as well, but we're to live life. You know, it is actually that simple, to live life and to enjoy the human life that we have, you know, at the moment, and, you know, learn from everything that we do, and just do our best and love everyone around us. We shouldn't be doing harm at all in any way, so it is actually to live life and to live it to, you know, the best you can. There is no answer in the sense of why did God create us. He created us because he loved us.
No,
he
I
loved
like
the
that.
Human being
like
he
that.
Made and decided, you know, he would give them a soul so that they would live forever, that they could come back home to him. because we are all only children. We may think we're adults, but we really are only children.
Right. And I'm so, and it's such exciting times, really, to be here on the earth, because things are evolving and changing, and it's great that there's hope, because I also think hope is needed when things get lighter and happier, because people are so used to living in a dull, dreary world that they need hope to realize that it's not that way at all. So we're coming into a new time. Let's talk about this new force that you're seeing. Can you?
Well, this is a new time, and, you know, just all that you were just saying there now, you know, people, you know, thinking that, you know, their life is dull and dreary, and they see no light. And that is exactly why the book has been written, to help people to see the light and to see how bright and lovely their life is. They have just stopped, what would you say, seeing it. They have closed their eyes in that way. And the Angel of Hope, I know even your guardian angel and so many other angels give us hope. But yet I know there is only, you know, this one beautiful angel that God has in the world at the moment, and I see him every day, and he's called the Angel of Hope, and he is just like a giant. He is absolutely magnificent, and he's like this massive, massive flame, and, you know, he's all the time turning and beckoning to us. But one of the most striking things about him is that he holds in his hand a torch, you know, like the Olympic torch, another flame. And he's constantly turning to us and beckoning to us to keep on coming, you know, not to give up, to see that light of hope. And God has him in the world at the moment, every single day. And the last time I was in New York, when I was in, I think you call it Times Square,
yes,
I was in a hotel there, and I was looking down on the people on the street, and they looked so tiny, and I was looking at the guardian angels as well, you know, and they look small as well compared to what they normally would if I was down on the street as well.
Right.
And just the angel beside me said, "Lorna, you know, look across the skyline." And there I saw the Angel of Hope. Like a giant. I could just see his head and shoulders, and he holding that torch, and he turning and beckoning to everyone in America as he moved through all the buildings until he went so far that I could no longer see him. And that's very important for everyone to remember, you know, that there is hope there in every part of your life. If you're feeling down or sad, allow yourself to see, you know, that light of hope in your life, so that suddenly you can see that there is many reasons to live. There's many reasons to smile and to get up and do things. You know, it is very, very important. People really need that.
Yeah, and it's because it is a new time. There's more information, more creativity, more abundance and transformation, and I think hope is always a good thing to have when we're not sure of the future, but the future is and will be better than the past. And you say particularly that America holds a special place, probably more than any other country, because people from all over the world are gathered here. Is that why America is important?
Yes. America, I'm so surprised, you know, I suppose maybe to go back when I was a child, the angels, you know, used to say, you know, I would write about God and us, meaning them, and I always ignore them. And then when the time came and the angel Michael said, "I have to start to write, you know, about God and us," and, you know, I kind of just laughed and said, "I can't read or write. How on earth does God expect me even to write one book?" And, you know, especially writing this book now, The Message of Hope from the Angels, and just remembering back to when I was a child on different occasions, seeing, you know, these beautiful angels that the angels that were with me explained that they were called the American Gathering Angels because they were gathering people from all over the world and bringing them to America for the American people to become the new race. And even as a child or a teenager, when I would ask questions on that, I was just so fascinated by it. Because even when, you know, I lived in at one stage in, you know, near Dublin, and a neighbour down the road, a young girl, I think she was about 17, and one day, you know, just seeing her walking down the road and seeing this angel with her, the American Gathering Angel, as I call them all. And these angels are dressed in armour, you know, and their hair is usually shoulder length, you know, just a little above it, and they have a band that goes around their head. They are incredible angels, but they have been gathering people from all over the world. And I always remember seeing that girl that day and just smiling and knowing that one day she would go to America and wouldn't come back home. It's very important for American people to realize that you are the new race.
Well, I was just going to say, if you rearrange the letters in America, it spells I am race. So the I am race is
yeah.
But, I mean, just a little thing. But, no, but it's important because you feel, though, there's... that, I mean, we're still having a hard time here in America, but I think we have overcome a certain prejudice that that maybe still exists in other places. So is that part of it?
Well, it's one thing that you must all remember. You have been gathered from all over the world, you know, and even the American Indian that is there already in America, God has had him there, and he has a spirituality within himself. But God has gathered, you know, people from so many different countries, and you are also spiritual. You are the gateway, you know, to man's future. You are the new race.
Right.
And to me, that is incredible. You know, you are going to play a huge part in evolution, a huge part in leading people. You know, I always say, you know, the president of America has a very tough job to do. And I know the leader of America needs to, you know, have vision and do the right thing and show the world, because in the end, America will lead the world, you know, but will lead the world in peace. It will be so, so different. And I have seen so many wonderful futures from that. It is incredible. And as well, you know, you are the new race, and you are of all different religions. God has gathered you into one place. You know, and I know that doesn't mean, you know, he never sent a gathering angel for myself to go and stay in America, you know. And I know it doesn't mean that, you know, Americans are more superior. But yes, you are the new race. You are the gateway to mankind's future. And you are very spiritual, and you are more open. And, you know, any time I go to America, the tingling, you know, the vibration is incredible. But it's not coming from the soil or the ground or the trees or anything like that. It's actually coming from the American people. And I think that is incredible, because you have such a huge part to play. And all religions are there in America.
But you say you're talking as if it's the future. We will have a new. But is there a time when that happens, or is that time happening
no,
right
you
now?
You are the new race. You are the new race.
But
that's the important thing.
Is there a time coming though where America? I mean, America will be more important for the world than it is now, or is this the time? So it's happening now as we speak.
It's actually happening now. You know, here I'm saying to the angels, what more will I say? You know, for yourselves, I know you have a great president there, right. Obama. And,
yes.
You know, I know all the American people may not agree about him, but yet I know he was actually chosen to be the president of America at
yes.
this time. So please God, he does a brilliant job. I know he will make mistakes and won't be perfect, but please God, America will move forward an awful lot.
Mm.
You are the new race. This is the thing. It's not you. You aren't the new race. You know, you aren't the gateway to mankind's future. You know, in the future, you are now.
It's happening. It's happening.
It's happening now.
This point of transformation. And will there be a point in one of the futures that you saw where the whole world will then have that same essence that's here?
Yes, eventually. And you have to remember, the American people, I suppose, are not so aware of it. But the rest of the world does look in at you.
Uh-huh.
And we do look for answers from you all of the time. And I know the American people, you know, aren't as inclined to look out. But maybe they should look out a little and, you know, allow themselves to grow more spiritually than they are. Because spirituality isn't about, you know, becoming a healer or a fortune teller or anything like that. To become more spiritual, it means that, in a sense, your body and soul has intertwined. And if you're a doctor or if you're a president, you know, you have more vision, you're better at your job because you're using the human side of you, but you're using the spiritual side as well to its fullest capacity.
Mm.
And to me, that is incredible.
Mm.
Like I often say to people, one of the futures I was shown, which wasn't very good, was where, you know, young children were very few, you know, and one little boy turned around and asked, as he looked at the picture, and said, you know, what is that green stuff on the picture? And an old man said, well, it's grass. And the child said, what is grass? You know, and the old man was explaining to him, but hadn't got any grass to show him, because we weren't doing the right things. And that's why we need to have vision, and we need to remember to do the right things and to grow spiritually and to go forward and to see that light of hope right there in front of us.
And there is some great futures that are possible for us if we accept this part of being a spiritual soul connected being. We create a beautiful planet with lots of grass everywhere, I think, you know.
Yes, and we definitely need grass. That is very important. But another thing that helps us to grow spiritually is prayer. And I know people might say, you know, oh, that's crazy, you know, in that sense, but it's not. And we must remember, you know, God wants us to grow spiritually for evolution to happen, you know, in that way. And prayer is very powerful. It makes us, you know, more aware spiritually of our soul and of God. And it helps us to realize that we're not flesh and blood, because as we start to grow spiritually, we start to feel our soul coming forward as well.
Mm-hmm.
So all prayer, again, is very, very important. And that is why it's important as well for us to, you know, to accept each other, all the different religions, and to pray together.
Mm-hmm.
Because prayer brings us forward spiritually. in such a way that is so incredible.
Are you getting new information every day? The angels are always talking to you, right? So you're hearing new things, or are you hearing the same things as reminders?
No, I'm being told different things all of the time. But you can only give people so much, because it depends on how spiritual, let's say, or how far they have come themselves within their own life. It's like, sometimes you might meet someone and they're, in this big job, and, spirituality is, down at their ankles in that sense, and they think anything spiritual is kind of, silly and, is off the rocket or something like that. And then you could meet someone else who is very, very successful, and their spirituality is right up to their chest. And they have realized that in growing spiritually themselves within mm-hmm. their own way, that they could use that spirituality within the work they're doing and make their business really, really successful as well, or to be a successful person.
Right, but you can talk to this audience, and I don't want to claim I'm more spiritual than anybody else, but if you have like a special message for, the people who know they're connected and want to give back and help evolve the planet, this is why we're all coming together in a way.
Well, I would say to people, who already would say that they're aware of spirituality within themselves, and they're aware of their guardian angel, and, say to yourself that you actually want to grow more spiritual yourself as well. But don't be afraid of, don't be afraid of giving someone else some information. Right. Even a child, even saying to a child that you have a guardian angel.
Right.
It's actually the simple little things. It's not all these big, huge things that people think. When you look at my life, in one sense, it has been very, very small. And yet I know people might say it's very, very big. But it's not really. It's about, growing spiritually and doing the right thing. Doing the right thing the best as you can. I would hear from parents now, because in the Message of Hope there's a whole chapter on about being a parent is the most important job in the world. And hearing from fathers and mothers and single parents and all of that, saying that chapter, has given them back so much hope, in realizing things that they never realized before, and, becoming spiritual themselves as well, and doing their best to be the best parent they possibly can in allowing the spiritual part of themselves to come forward as they are raising their child.
It must have been hard then to hear about the thing that happens in Connecticut in Newtown with those innocent children.
It was very, very sad. That is one thing you must remember. I do know, because I done a radio show. I was asked about it, and I do know that each child had a guardian angel, and each. Their guardian angels done everything to protect the children, but they couldn't save them. They couldn't save their human life. So I know the guardian angels wrapped them, in their wings and took their little souls safely, back home to heaven. And I know that's not comforting for parents, but yet I know the guardian angel of the young man who done such a horrific thing was doing everything possible to try to get him not to do that, and was probably, other guardian angels were probably working hard to try and get other people to notice things were wrong, but sometimes a tragedy can't be stopped, and the only thing a guardian angel can do then is, you know, take the soul home safely.
But that, you know, that young man who did the awful thing, he, of course, had a guardian angel, but he couldn't hear the voice of that angel.
That is right. And you must remember, you know, we all find it hard. And I don't know why people find it so hard to listen to their guardian angel. And your guardian angel, you see, will never ask you to do anything wrong. Will never, you know, ask you to be mean or spiteful or, you know, or to say a hurtful thing or, right, you know, anything that is, or to even be a bully, you know. Your guardian angel will never ask you to do anything like that. Only what is right and what is good, and to reach out and help others. But yet we are so inclined to listen to the other side, and I know that's because we forget that we are not just flesh and blood. We forget we have a soul, and we think that the material things, or if someone says something to us, you know, that hurts us, we want to get back revenge. And I know the young man was listening to the other side in whatever way he was listening. And no matter what his guardian angel did, it wasn't helping. He just wasn't listening.
But there is a time coming when it feels like we'll be free of that other side, and that we will move into a new paradise where we can now enjoy creativity, our life, evolution, love. Do you see that as a possible future?
Yes, I have to smile because, you know, when I said to you earlier on that, you know, God has shown me many futures for mankind, and many wonderful futures, and I know he's shown me not so wonderful as well. Mm-hmm. But I always like to talk about the wonderful futures, and you have just described them, because sometimes I'm shown, you know, just so many different ones, but they are all the same. They all come together as one. So it's like, you know, it's parts of the future, and then they all come together.
Right.
And how what I want our from office... mankind is all those good ones.
So when is that? How far away is that kind of good future? I mean, in 10 years, 20, 100?
I can't put a time on it like that, but it's already happening. Right. It's again, it's our choice. It's our free will. So I know I would say to you, I didn't choose this time to write these books, because you have to remember I can't really read or write. God chose this time, you know, to give back man, you know, hope and faith again and belief again, you know, to change the future for the best. So the future is right there in front of us. We just have to start to say yes, you know, to all of the right things. It's like the leader of America, you know, has to allow himself, or whatever presidents come up, allow themselves to see vision and always to do the right thing. And, you know, I have been shown that America will get out of its economy, you know, down, you know, the way it's not so good.
Right.
But you're already starting to come back up. Mm. It's already happening.
But it should be easy to say yes and do the right thing, but people find it hard. But I think you're saying if we just listen and get out of our own way, we'll know what the right thing is.
Yes, I always say, you know, it's nearly always the first thought that comes into your mind. It could be that you're in a job, and you're in an office, let's say, and you're working real hard, and you know there's six other people in the office, and you know you just want to get away early or something like that, and you decide, you know, to be maybe a bit on the selfish side, and you decide to give someone else, you know, half of your work, you know, in order for you to get out of work dead on time. Your guardian angel wouldn't be asking you to do that, so it's kind of to say to things like that, no, that is wrong for me to do that.
But when
you know,
you're being
maybe
told...
I could ask the person, you know, could they you know, do some of my work, and another night, you know, I'll do some of theirs if they need to get off work a bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get rid of, what would you call it, revenge, and not to take things so personal.
Sometimes it feels though we're pulled towards doing something and we may not know why, like you said, dropping a pencil or something, but it feels like that pull beyond question is a sort of guidance, right? Would you say that?
It is. It is actually your guardian angel teaching you how to respond. They are absolutely brilliant teachers. Incredible. Now, you know, even looking at my life, you know, especially when I can't read or write, they have been my friends, my companions, my teachers. They have actually taught me everything I know. So if your guardian angel says to you, you know, pick up your pen, a silly thought comes into your mind like that, don't say what's in it for you, go and pick it up. You're actually just learning to respond. And that is one of the very important things. And if you do that as often as you can, you will get so used to doing it that eventually, you know, when something is really important in your life, you know, a big change needs to happen for you, and your guardian angel says to you, go down the hallway there, you'll actually go down and you will say you did it all yourself.
But because I just want to say they don't say it sometimes in words. It's more a feeling. This is what you're feeling to do. I think that's important to
know. It depends on what way your guardian angel communicates with you. If, as I said, if it's a feeling or that you get, or even a dream, you know, or a random thought that comes into your mind. Just go with it and don't say what's in it for me. Even if your guardian angel said, you know, when you're finished there, go on and get yourself a glass of water, and you don't want a glass of water, you know, go and get yourself a glass of water. Because you're learning.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It's following one's soul purpose. And most of the time we don't really know why, because it represents a bigger picture than what the conscious mind is aware of. That's how I would explain that.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly.
We're almost finished up because I know you have a bunch of things to do. I have some things to do, and I know you'll be in New York next week, and we'll get together. Lorna will be at St. John the Divine on March 14th, St. John the Divine Cathedral, which is a beautiful, beautiful place. Have you been there, Lorna?
No, I haven't. I haven't been there at all, and I'm really looking forward to be going there, because I'm looking forward to meeting John, who will be doing the interview with me. I think his name is John Rosenberg. I can't pronounce his name properly, so forgive me there.
Rauschenbusch, I think, isn't it? Rauschenbusch. Paul Rauschenbusch, that one?
Paul.
Oh, no, he wrote
it. Yeah.
Anyway, you'll be And, you know, that's a cathedral that has pulled a lot of different religions together, a lot of different spiritual ideas. And I think you'll really love the beings that show up there to visit you.
Well, that will be wonderful. And you had just said something there that reminded me, you know, you said a lot of different religions gather there. You know, go to the cathedral.
Yes.
And that is one thing that America plays a huge part in, is joining together of all the different religions of the Jews, the Muslims, the Catholics, you know, all the different, I don't even know all the names. And it is in America where they start to pray together.
Mm.
And all that fear is lost. I know all that. All the good and all the positive things come from America, from the new race, and you can do it.
So, well, you said when people
grow spiritually,
when they pray together from different religions and traditions, it seems to enhance the ability of prayer, as opposed to, you're saying, as opposed to people praying all from one religion together, it's more powerful when people from many religions pray together.
Yes, it's more powerful, and you know, all the barriers come down, all the fears come down, and you know, you're praying to the one God, and you have to remember, because we have so many different religions, people, you know, believing in God, the same God, but having different traditions, different, you know, little bits of difference in the belief in God, but it is the one God, and it is very important that this happens, and I know it will really grow strong in America, because I'm actually seeing Muslims and Catholics and Protestants and Jews and others, you know, praying together, and all the barriers gone, and nobody being afraid of the way someone else prays or anything like that, and all talking about God as well, but talking about God in a loving way, you know, not one trying to outdo the other. So that part is extremely important, and it is one of the futures that I have been shown as well, you know, and I know I could go on and tell you some of the things that I have been shown in that way. But America has just such a huge role to play, and it's just so important for American people to remember that you are the new race. You know, God has gathered you from all over the world, and America is the gateway to man's future, you know,
well,
towards evolution, the whole lot.
Thank you, Lorna.
So you keep sending me back to America.
Well, I'm glad you keep coming, because it's always nice to see you and feel who you are and your connection. One last question. Are you ever surprised by angels that show up? I mean, there's sometimes a new angel that comes on that you start to see and say, oh, my God, that's something you haven't seen before. Does that happen?
Yes, that does happen on odd occasions. But I suppose maybe because it's normal and natural for me, maybe I don't get as surprised as maybe you would.
Right. Well, maybe I'll start seeing angels around people too.
Good.
And
I would love that to happen. I would love more and more people to be able to see the angels physically, as I do. And you know, I have asked God, has anyone else seen them physically? And he has said no, only little children. And sometimes, you know, the elderly before they go home to heaven, or someone who is close to going home to heaven.
But do you think it's possible for everyone to see it and be here?
Yes, because that is one of the futures I was shown as well, you know, where, you know, a mother would see her child's guardian angel, and the child would see the mother's guardian angel, or if I was with you would see my guardian angel. So yes, it is part of the future, but we have to grow spiritual in that way.
Well, we are, and I think that's why you're doing so much traveling and writing these books, because you are one of the gate openers for the new time, and it's not about you. You're just following orders in a way, right?
That's right. It's not about me at all. It's about you and everybody else out there. That's the important thing to remember.
Lorna, always nice to talk to you.
Same here.
So have a beautiful night there in Ireland, and I'll see you in New York next week, and we'll continue our conversation.
Okay. I'm sorry for being a little bit tired.
No, it's late there. It's no. You're doing fine. No, we'll do it again sometime. Okay.
Okay.
That's a love.
God bless. Bye bye.
Thanks for everything you're doing. I'll talk to you. Okay. I've been talking to Lorna Byrne, and her recent book is A Message of Hope. Her first book out here in America is Angels in My Hair, which is a beautiful book about her life and how she came to know what she was seeing around people was true and real in her life and hasn't been easy. And she talks about how she couldn't read and write, yet she has bestsellers all throughout Europe. And it's truly a humbling piece of work, and hope you get a chance to see her this time in New York at some time in the future, and definitely pick up her books. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Thanks for listening tonight. You can reach me at newrealities@earthlink.net. You can check my website where this interview will be posted. Also, it'll be in bbsradio.com archives. Thanks for listening. Good night.